Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, and a very blessed continuing Holy Week for you and your family. Triduum about to start. We start the holiest days of the year for us Christians, and we hope that all of that brings many blessings to you. Today, we have two guests, both from right here in the building. Father will be here second hour to talk with us about Holy Week, and your questions about what happens on Holy Week and why that happens and all that are welcome in the second hour when Father Hugh Barber is here. This hour, we're defending the truth against relativism. You just try to guess who's here if we're defending the truth against relativism. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you have questions about truth and relativism, maybe you're a person who believes there is no objective truth, whether general truth or moral truth. We really want to hear from you this hour. Or maybe you're someone who thinks it's arrogant or intolerant or bigoted to make claims about the truth. Yes, we are hoping you'll call 888-318-7884. Why should we believe? Why should we care what people believe so long as nobody gets hurt? That's one way of being kind of a relativist. Or there's no absolute truth, or there can't be. So many people believe so many different things. Or there's even those of us who are. It's not so much that we're relativists. We just need help answering the relativists, which I count myself among those. If you are in any of those groups, our number is 888-318-7884. And if you know anything about this program, you know that our guest, when we're talking about truth and relativism, is Carlo Broussard. He made the Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking CD, which you can get at shop.catholic.com. He's a staff apologist here at Catholic Answers, renowned public speaker, and he's got a brand new book coming out, Prepare the Way, How to Overcome Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Carlo, your introduction is getting longer and longer, man. How are you?
Si, you're too kind, man. All this buildup, hopefully I can live up to it.
You better be good now.
Oh, man. I'm shaking in my boots here.
Well, this is your area of interest. I mean, your philosophy is very, very interesting.
Sure. I'm glad you said that. Was very, very keen of you to say it's an area of interest rather than an area of expertise.
Well,
you just lowered the bar.
I didn't choose that word for that purpose.
Yeah, it is definitely an area of interest. I'm constantly a student learning with regard to philosophy and truth, which we would call epistemology. How do we come to know things and human knowledge, as well as philosophy dealing with God, the philosophy of God, natural theology, and whatnot. So these are definitely things that whet my appetite, and it's like a kid in a candy shop when I'm reading this stuff. There's so much to learn, so many nuances. It's always a great joy to dive in and to plunge the depths of the great mystery of truth. And hopefully we can talk about some of those things today, because truth is foundational,
right?
I mean, if there is no such thing as objective truth, and truth doesn't matter, and it's just relative to what you think or I think, well, we're wasting our time being Christians, right? We
might
as well just shut the doors and go home, man, and eat, drink, and be merry, right? So truth is foundational because Jesus said, I am the truth in John 14:6. So truth is foundational not only to theistic beliefs of belief in God or theism, but also to Christianity itself. So it's important that we get this first foundation, establish this foundation, because it's square one in order to start getting anything else off the ground. But also, too, not only philosophically, I mean, relativism also sort of seeps its way into different other areas. So, for example, we can throw this out on the table. Somebody out there might not be a relativist, but they might say truth is relative when it comes to faith. Truth is only objective, they might say, when it comes to science. Mm-hmm. And this is the worldview known as scientism, right? That science is the only legitimate form of rational inquiry. Science alone gives us objective truth, whereas faith and religious knowledge is purely subjective or relative to an individual and what he or she believes. And then also, too, I would throw out on the table, I would argue that relativism has seeped its way even within Christianity. via the doctrine of sola scriptura, that and the secret testimony of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit guides and leads me subjectively and into an authentic interpretation of God's divine revelation given to us in written form. And there is no objective, no standard of authentic teaching outside of my individual interpretation that I must submit to. And so there's a sense in which relativism seeps its way even within Christianity, and we're kind of relativists relative to Christian doctrine, that there's no objective standard of Christian doctrine for us to acknowledge as true, but that it's relative to my individual interpretation.
Would you agree with me if you remain stuck in relativism, a full flourishing human happiness is not really possible because we're made for the truth?
That's right. If there is an objective truth, a reality that we are ordered to by nature to conform to know, well, then our authentic human happiness would be dependent upon us knowing that truth, achieving that final end of the intellect, right? To know that which is ultimately real. And so truth and happiness is intrinsically related if there is an objective truth that we are ordered to. But if truth is merely relative, well, then I would simply be confined to a happiness that I identify in some finite thing. Like I identify purpose and meaning in this thing, so if I acquire this thing, I will be happy. And if there is nothing more than that, well, then that would be the complete satisfaction of my happiness. But that seems to contradicts our personal experiences, right?
Right.
Some of these money, power, fame, we achieve those things, but yet people still desire something more.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They desire to even know more than the limited knowledge that they have. So there's this sort of inference due to my dissatisfaction of the limitations of knowledge that I have, desiring more is a hint that there may very well be something out there, right? And then through philosophical arguments of God's existence, etc., we would argue that there is an objective truth, an infinite truth out there that we're made to possess in order to be completely happy. So whether you take the starting point from one's personal experience, sort of this subjective experiential approach, arriving at this objective truth, this infinite truth, or starting from sort of an approach outside of my experience just by reason alone and arriving at that objective truth, either approach is valid. Some will argue one is weightier than the other, but I think both are valid.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. And Fleming on Facebook just said, I guess I gave it really quick, where he wants to know about the CD. Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking. That's Carlos' CD, and you can get it at shop.catholic.com.
And there's also a free ebook that goes with that.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's
when you
right.
purchase the CD, you'll get an insert card with a URL to go online and download the PDF ebook. It's about 38-page booklet, and it's sort of a study guide to go along with the presentation, going through it point by point.
Defending truth against relativism is our topic this hour. Carlo Broussard is our guest. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We'll be back with your calls for Carlo right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Yo, hi everybody. This is Dion, the Wanderer. Hey, you want to know when I keep it on Catholic Answers Live? I feel at home. God bless. Stay well.
Don't you just love listening to Carlo Broussard? Did you know you can book Carlo or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
50 years ago, Blessed Pope Paul VI released his encyclical Humanae Vitae, reaffirming the Catholic Church's condemnation of contraception. Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue delving deep into what is arguably one of the Church's most controversial documents in modern times. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 813 818-487-2011 or by going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on the most important aspects of Paul VI's profound and prophetic document. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 818-487-2011 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Very blessed Holy Week to you. And maybe spring break, too. I know a lot of people are on spring break. There's a lot of people in my town with Arizona license plates.
Party, 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 party!
No, they're here for Holy Week. Stop it. This hour, we're discussing defending truth against relativism with Carlo Broussard, who made the DVD, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking. This, at this moment, however, we are joined by the Chief Operating Officer of Catholic Answers, John Sorensen. Hello, John.
Hey.
Wow, you have a really deep voice, John. How are you, John Sorensen?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Cy Keller?
I am super groovy. Why did you come in here? What are you here to discuss with us?
I just came on because I want to be on the radio.
I'm so glad. You have a great radio voice. That actually is kind of intimidating to me. I prefer not having you on the radio.
That's the first time I've ever heard that, but thank you.
Really?
Yeah. I came in here to talk about our conference, though.
Okay. Faith and science.
That's right.
Friends or foes? The
Friends
big Catholic
or
Answers
foes.
Conference coming up.
Yeah. I used to think that they were foes.
Yeah, were you an atheist at one time?
I was a big time atheist.
You were a big time atheist, mm-hmm. And you thought science was where it's at. And
I thought science was the be all end all, brother.
Uh huh.
And that faith was just your ridiculous, superstitious whatever.
And then you heard Carlo or somebody here at Catholic Answers.
It was Catholic Answers actually.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so now, what do you think?
Now I think that they live in perfect harmony.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Sing kumbaya.
Yeah. They hold hands and sing kumbaya. Faith and science, brother.
All right. Well, let me tell people a little bit about the conference, and then we will discuss that with you. It's September 27th through 30th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla in beautiful, sunny San Diego. You have to say it that way. Beautiful,
beautiful.
Sunny San Diego. You can't just say San Diego.
Yeah. And it is beautiful.
Right. And right now we got the early bird pricing happening now through July 2nd. You get your tickets. You register before July 2nd. You also get... the Jimmy Akin M&Ms.
Jimmy Akin M&Ms. This is a one-time deal. Anybody that passes that up, any fan of Jimmy's that does not get these M&Ms, you're not a true fan.
Yep. The keynote speaker at the banquet will be, wow, that was pretty harsh, will be Cardinal Burke, Raymond Cardinal Burke.
I can't wait.
And the room rate, $149 at the
That's right. Unbeatable.
It's beautiful, too.
Yes.
Carlo, are you going to talk there?
I am.
What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about why science can't eliminate God.
Oh, you wrote a beautiful piece on that, I remember.
In a previous edition of Catholic Answers Magazine. Yeah, so my talk will be similar to that article, of course, in a way that's directed to a popular audience and on stage and a presentation that's fun and energetic and not so abstract, boring, intellectual type stuff. Although it's not boring for me.
No, yeah. There's many people like you, Carl. I know what you mean, though. It has to be different as a talk than as an article.
Yeah, sure. We're just basically going to, answer one of the things I pitched earlier on the broadcast, the idea of scientism, that science is the only source of objective truth. So I'll be responding to that claim and equip the folks attending there with tools needed to engage in that dialogue to try to show that there's other forms of inquiry that can give us objective truth as well.
Yeah.
And then to answer the question, can science sufficiently explain the physical universe in a way that would negate the need for God? And the answer, of course, the bottom line to that question is no. But in order to find out the reasons why, You got to come to the conference.
Got to register. Early bird registration.
Right. Early bird registration. Jimmy Akin M&Ms. What more do you want?
You got to do that. You go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. We hope you will come. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Just going to make a wild guess here. At some point in the talk, Thomas Aquinas will be mentioned.
Indeed, he will.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And what are you going to be doing at the conference?
I'm going to be walking around saying hello to everybody and working with Erica to make sure that, you know, at least externally, it looks like nothing's going wrong.
At least externally.
Which you guys do a beautiful job because I never see anything
going
wrong.
It was seamless last year. It's my first year.
It seemed seamless. But even poor Erica was running around putting out fires.
Well, she must have done a beautiful awesome job because I emceed the thing. And never saw a single problem.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, that's because Erica does a good job. Yep.
Yeah, she does a good job.
She does an
excellent job. We got quite a team here,
you do too, John.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Thank you, brother.
Sometime we got to have you on to talk about all the exciting things you're making happen here at Catholic Answers.
Like,
we're just
love
branching
that
out in all these ways.
Yep. There's a lot going on right now. So, yep. I'm happy to come on anytime and talk about it.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
John Sorensen, you rock, brother.
All right, thanks,
yes.
Okay, man.
All right. See you guys.
Hey, blessed Holy Week. Happy Easter.
Same
to you, John.
Thanks
for coming in, John.
Yeah, thank you. That was awesome.
It's nice having John in here.
Indeed it is.
Yeah.
Who could
we have on less so we can have John on more? We have to think that through.
I will decrease in order that he may increase. Oh,
you're just saying that because he signs the checks. 888-318-7884, the number. 888-318-7884. Already a bunch of calls want to talk about relativism and defending the truth against relativism. Shall we go to those?
Yeah, sure. Let's give it a shot.
All right. Kyle in San Antonio, Texas. Very bright guy because he's got the Catholic Answers Live app downloaded on his phone, and that's where he's listening. Kyle, your question for Carlo. Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Carlo. Thanks for taking my call.
Hang on a second, Kyle. Are you in a space capsule? Are you more than 100 yards from the phone? What is happening here?
I am not, but let me make an adjustment. Any better?
Yo, that's perfect.
Better.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had my headphones in. Sorry about that.
Okay.
My question is directed towards the huge numbers of Christian denominations that exist in our world today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest testimony against Catholicism holding the fullness of the truth is just the sheer number of other denominations and the disagreement among Christians. The earliest dating back to the Great Schism, the East-West Schism between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. So, you know, I think they both make compelling arguments.
Right.
You have in the Orthodox Church a number of successors to a number of the apostles. And in the Catholic Church, you have that claim plus the chair of St. Peter, the Pope, who claims to be the successor of Peter.
Right.
That difference specifically, what would you say to somebody who argues that it's the Orthodox Church that holds the fullness of the truth and who can discern absolute truth versus the Catholic Church?
Yeah, no, this is a very good point you bring up, Kyle. And it is true, as you mentioned, that those in the Orthodox community, you know, have valid successors to the apostles. But it all boils down to the fundamental question of, did Jesus establish among the College of the Twelve one of the apostles to be the leader of the Twelve, to be a visible source of unity for the Twelve themselves, not only for the whole flock of God here on earth, namely the Church, but for the College of the Apostles themselves. And so it all boils down to that fundamental question. Did Jesus give Peter a supreme authority to govern, to guide, to rule, to teach God's people here on earth, including the College of the Twelve, to visibly unite them? And when I look at the evidence, I see that the evidence leans in favor of the Catholic position in answering that question in the affirmative. Looking at, for example, as you, probably Kyle, you already know, Matthew 16, 18 through 19, Peter is not only made the visible foundation on which Christ is going to build his church in such a way that, you know, wherever the foundation is, there's the true church of Christ, which suggests he's a visible source of unity, but also gives him the keys of the kingdom, which Jesus does not give to the other apostles, which would suggest Peter has a unique unique and supreme authority to bind and to loose. And then, of course, Jesus promising that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church precisely because of this foundational rock, namely Peter, that Jesus is building his church upon. So I would look at Peter being the rock, Peter receiving the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and having a primary authority, a unique and supreme authority, to bind and loose in a way that's distinct from the binding and the loosing of the 12. The binding of the loosing of the 12 having legitimate authority only in as much as they are united to Peter, who has the supreme authority to bind and loose. And then ultimately, Kyle, I would look to Luke 22:29-32, where Jesus promises that Peter's faith alone would not fail. He says, once you have turned, strengthen your brethren. He has the command to strengthen the brethren. But yet Jesus makes a promise when he's talking about Satan desiring to sift all of the apostles, desiring to sift them like wheat. Jesus prays uniquely and distinctly for Peter's faith to not fail. I pray for you in the singular, namely Peter. I pray for you, Peter, that your faith might not fail. And once you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. So we see this distinct, unique command for Peter to strengthen the 12, to strengthen the college of the apostles. And then finally in John 21, where Jesus gives Peter the command to feed and to shepherd the universal flock of God here on earth. So in light of these biblical text and the workings of the actions of the successors of Peter as the Bishop of Rome in the early church, and how the early church viewed the authority of the Bishop of Rome, it leads me to conclude, as well as others, that the Catholic claim is the true claim, that Peter is the visible source of unity, and thus his successors are the visible source of unity of Christ's flock here on earth, even though we have others who have branched off, others who have valid succession to the apostles. But nevertheless, the fullness of the truth, Kyle, as you mentioned, resides in this visible source of unity as articulated in those passages.
Okay, Kyle?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you, Carlo.
All right, Kyle. Thanks for calling us, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Kyle, we're talking about defending the truth against relativism. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry.
You look like you wanted to interrupt me there. Go ahead.
One thing Kyle brought up that was very important, he mentioned in his question regarding, you know, all the differing beliefs within Christianity. And unfortunately, that is a scandal to many.
Yes. So
on the outside, I can totally see that, how that would be a scandal to many. But it's precisely because of the fact that we as humans left to ourselves might not arrive at the truth and have differing beliefs, it's at least reasonable and plausible that Jesus would give us a single visible source of unity in the truth so that we could know the truth without error concerning God's revelation of himself. If he's going to give us public revelation, it would at least seem reasonable that he would give us an authentic interpreter of that public revelation in order that we can appropriately apply it in our lives and know what is real concerning God, man, the relationship between the two, and all these heavenly things that he talks about, all these mysteries of faith. So we can see it's at least reasonable that God would give us a visible source of unity in the truth. And to the question, does he? Well, then we would look at, we would debate that question and give the biblical data and historical data to support that.
Excellent point. Thanks, Carlo. Let's go to Edward now in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Oh, I like Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
That's down near your home, not too far.
Not too far, just a little bit west of where I grew up in Crowley.
Listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Edward, thank you for your call. Your question for Carlo.
Yeah, Carlo, love you, man, especially since I know a lot of your family. I have a nephew who is... he's college age and he's like, yeah, well, that's good for you, and trying to steer him back. And I just don't know how to get across the objective, you know, this is how it's done.
Right.
What is a good way or something good to show him? Because he is very intelligent, and whenever he's faced with something that is, pretty much concrete, he will listen and really ponder it. So
okay.
I'm looking for some nuggets to try to help with that.
If I could just say before you, Carlo's going to have to split this answer before and after the break, because I can see that the break's coming up soon.
Okay, thank you, Si, for that heads up. I appreciate that. Yeah, Edward, well, very quickly, I mean, just the claim itself, there is no absolute truth, is an absolute claim. Okay, to state that there is no absolute truth, you simply ask the question, is that absolutely true? The statement itself is to claim it's absolutely true that there is no absolute truth, which, of course, is a contradiction. So relativism in and of itself is self-referentially incoherent and implies at least one absolute truth, namely, there is no absolute truth.
Okay, so thanks, Carl. Hang on, Ed. We don't want you to go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Defending Truth Against Relativism with Carlo Broussard during this Holy Week here on Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back after this.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the Church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
50 years ago, Blessed Pope Paul VI released his encyclical Humanae Vitae, reaffirming the Catholic Church's condemnation of contraception. Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue delving deep into what is arguably one of the Church's most controversial documents in modern times. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or by going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. We'll take you on an exploration of the crucial social and theological issues surrounding the encyclical and try to answer questions about the theological core of the issue of contraception, possible limits of the document's teaching, what led the Pope to issue the encyclical, and so much more. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on the most important aspects of Paul VI's profound and prophetic document. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 818-487-2011 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Si Kellett, your host, here with Carlo Broussard, Defending Truth Against Relativism. Carlo has a brand new book coming out, Prepare the Way, How to Overcome Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. You can pre-order that. Just go to Catholic.com or go to shop.catholic.com. Either place, you can pre-order that book. That'll be out in mere weeks.
Yes, right.
The much anticipated. And if you want the CD, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking, that's also that's currently available at shop.catholic.com. When we went to the break, we were talking with Edward in beautiful Lake Charles, Louisiana, and he was talking about his nephew who and looking for some help in addressing his nephew's kind of slide into relativism. Edward, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, Edward, as I was saying before the break, you know, one little nugget is to just show that relativism in and of itself is self-referentially incoherent. It's self-refuting. The claim there is no absolute truth reduces to basically the claim it's absolutely true that there is no absolute truth, which violates the principle of non-contradiction. Something cannot be and not be in the same respect, the same place and time. So that's a little nugget. You were asking for a nugget. So that's a little nugget to get your nephew thinking if he is making this global relativistic claim, there is no absolute truth, and show that it's self-referentially incoherent. My forthcoming book, Edward, Prepare the Way, if you go to shop.catholic.com, you can pre-order it today. But the first section, Cy, of my book, I deal with relativistic claims. The very first chapter is trying to remove the obstacle of relativism in order to arrive at objective truth. So how can I believe in truth when there is no such thing as absolute truth, right? Mm-hmm. And I give strategies on how to remove that obstacle, show that it's self-referentially incoherent. Edward, another tactic or strategy that you might employ is to show the absurdities that it leads to. You might want to lead a nephew in a line of thinking that says, well, if there is no absolute truth, well, then apply that to morality and show the logical conclusion that if there is no absolute truth, well, then there would be no absolute moral truth, which would, of course, reduce all of morality to a mere illusion, which would negate or preclude or make it impossible, right, mm-hmm. in order to accuse anybody of wrongdoing. And if your nephew has any sense of goodwill within him, he'll recognize that, you know, that's an absurdity. So if I don't want to embrace the logical conclusions of relativism, well, then I must reject relativism itself. So these are a couple of strategies that I walk you through in my book, Prepare the Way. But Edward, there's another resource out there that you might want to get a hold of that you could actually either give to your nephew or study it yourself and engage in dialogue. And that is a book by Francis Beckwith and Gregory Kokel entitled Relativism, Feet Firmly Planted in Mid-Air. It's a great resource. It's a go-to resource for refuting relativism. My book, Edward, Prepare the Way, is coaching you, the reader, on how to evangelize your nephew. But if your nephew is not going to be turned off by that in any way, but is still willing to read sort of this manual for Catholics in evangelizing, then you could share the book with him as well. And he'll be able to sort of, you know, walk through our way of thinking and be able to interact with that.
How's that, Edward?
Oh, okay. That's awesome. I appreciate that.
Hey,
okay.
Edward, let me ask you, how would you like a free copy of Carlo's CD, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking? Think that would help?
Oh, that would help out a lot. I definitely would appreciate that.
Okay.
Cool.
I'll bring it to your house. No, not really. As much as I'd like
I don't live too far from your aunt, actually.
From Carlo's aunt.
That's right. Yeah, in Moss Bluff there, right?
All right. I'll tell you what. If you'll just hang on the line, we'll get your address and we'll send that out to you. And maybe it's something you can watch with your nephew. Thanks very much, Edward.
All right. Fantastic.
All right,
it's always great, Cy, to hear somebody call from down home in Louisiana, man.
Yeah, where they talk right. Right? Where they talk the proper way that English is supposed to be talked. Let's go to Timothy in Kerrville, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Timothy, you are on with Carlo Broussard. Your question, please.
Oh, yes. Hi. I argue with my cousin Zach about, because he's an atheist, and of course I defend God. I use Trent's book, and it's a solid argument. I get him every time, except he runs to the alien thing.
Okay.
And he starts to say how you really think we're the only ones in this in the universe with life on the planet, with a billion stars out there, grains of sand, and, you know, he tries to compare it to sand.
Sure.
And he talks about, and I was just curious of what would be a solid answer for him, a defense for against the alien question that he throws at me.
Okay. Well, initially, Timothy, the first thing that comes to mind is the fact that he would think that an appeal to an alien life form, an intelligent being sort of superior to human beings, right, would negate the need for God, tells me right off the bat that he is starting out with a false understanding of what we mean by God, right?
Yes.
Because think about this, Timothy. We acknowledge, even as theists, and particularly as, you know, Christian theists, right, as Christians, that there are super intelligent beings above human beings, okay, namely the angels, right? So in a sense, there's a kernel of truth. There's some similarity with him appealing to aliens, which is simply be, you know, super human intelligent beings with corporeal bodies, right? And Christians appealing to angels, which are intelligent beings above humans without a body, right? But in as much as we appeal to intelligent beings, incorporeal intelligent beings, namely angels, that in no way negates the need for God. Why? Because even their beings, even their being in and of itself is contingent. They are reliant on God, the first supreme cause of all being itself. So, Timothy, the bottom line is that in as much as there would be aliens existing, philosophically, we could deduce that those beings would be contingent. That is to say, they would be dependent upon something else outside of themselves for their very existence and ultimately reasoning to God. And the whole theistic framework, Timothy, those aliens would be effects of God's causality. So in no way could they possibly negate the need for God because they would be the product of God's causality.
What do you make of that, Timothy?
Yeah, that's a better answer than what I was given.
Now all of that, of course, Timothy, all of that presupposes, you know, reasonably reasoning through, going through the arguments for God's existence, arriving at the truth that God exists and that everything outside of himself is, you know, an effect of his causality, etc. But that's sort of the short answer, at least addressing the question, if I find aliens, does that mean God doesn't exist? Well, given the classical theistic tradition, of course not, because those aliens would just be one more piece of the datum, one more data, right, along with you, me, the tree outside, and the angels that are creatures, effects of the divine causality, creative causality of the creator, namely God.
Timothy, thank you very much for that call. Does that argument work with Bigfoot too? Like, just in case there's a Bigfoot, I want to know. It does?
He would be a product of God's causality. That's right.
Timothy, or she. Bigfoot could be a she. I don't know.
What?
He or she.
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Oh, you were using he.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Come on. You got to be inclusive, Carlo. We're talking relativism. We're talking defending the truth against relativism. Carlo Broussard is our guest. And next up is Jaden in McKinney, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Jaden, your question for Carlo.
I'm an Orthodox Jew, and I don't have a lot of access to internet and a lot of things like that. I'm using my school's Wi-Fi right now. I was wondering, I have a question. I'm going to really crossroads. I've accepted faith in Christ as a Jew, which is very rare. And I'm going to crossroads. I'm trying to decide between Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism. I've narrowed it down to these two. It's just I need some extra help on that. I don't have a lot of internet access. I love the Catholic Answers Radio. It helps a lot with my studying.
Beautiful.
Just wanted some deeper.
Okay, sure thing. Well, Jaden, this actually touches on an answer I was given earlier in the show to a caller. I don't know if you were listening at the time. But fundamentally, we would look at the historical evidence given to us in the New Testament, particularly in the Gospels, and look at how Jesus interacted with the 12 apostles, and fundamentally asking the question, did Jesus establish any of those 12 apostles to have a unique supreme authority to govern, to guide, to rule the others, a sort of visible source of unity that would unify the College of the 12, which in turn unifies the whole flock of God on earth? And when we look at the evidence, Jaden, we see that the answer to that question is yes, that Jesus does single Peter out among the 12, investing him with unique superior authority. For example, he makes him the visible foundation on which he will build his church in Matthew 16:18. You know, Jesus didn't say that specifically to any of the other 12. Do the other 12 participate in Peter's foundationalness, I guess you could say, right? Yes, they do participate in the foundation of the church in as much as they're united to Peter. But Peter is clearly the visible source of that unity, the visible foundation on which Christ is building his church. And in Matthew 16:18-19, the same text, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus gives Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven, which, Jaden, you may be very familiar with, right? The key of the house of David in Isaiah 22, given to the royal steward, Eliakim, replacing Shebna, sort of the prime minister of the Davidic cabinet, right, and governing and ruling David's kingdom. And Jesus being the heir to the throne, the son of David, establishing the new and restored Davidic kingdom in his church, giving to Peter the keys of his kingdom, signifying that Peter is this royal steward to govern, to guide, and to rule the kingdom in the place of the king, having this delegated authority, which doesn't negate the authority of the king, but establishes it here on earth in a visible way. So that's one example among many, Jaden. We could look to Luke 22, 29 through 32, John 21, 15 through 17. But the bottom line is the biblical data is there. And then we also look to the historical data and asking the question, how did the early church view the successor to Peter and the authority that he possessed? And the great resource that I would encourage you to get a hold of, Jaden, that I think you'll find helpful for you is by Stephen Ray. And the title is Upon This Rock, and I think it's published by Ignatius Press. But it's a great resource that delves into the biblical data as well as the historical data, which constitutes three quarters of the book, looking at the early church and the writings of the early church fathers. So I think if you go to that resource and all of the resources that he footnotes, etc., that'll get you on a good journey in order to determine whether to belong to Catholicism or Orthodoxy. So, and I think you'll find, Jaden, in that research that Catholicism is the legitimate heir to the original Christian community because we have the successor to St. Peter, and it all hinges upon that.
Jaden, I'm interested in your response.
So I was just asking legitimate questions. I don't know. I grew up in a very cradle Jewish community. I never even knew what Christianity was until recently, until I started going to public school.
Okay.
Sadly, my parents got divorced, so I stopped living in a Jewish community, and now I'm living in a more secular public community. So I didn't know what Christianity was up until recently.
Wow!
I just got my hands on a New Testament, and
amen.
It's really given me spiritual experiences beyond, and it's strengthened my faith in Judaism and given me, put me on this journey, and I love listening to y'all's radio when I get a chance. My father is still a very traditional Jew, so we don't have internet, and we live out in the country now, which is farther away from where I'm calling from.
Right.
So I don't have very much experience to go to libraries. There's no library in the town. There's no bookstores. So it's very rare for me to get, but I'm really glad I got the chance to talk to you today.
Yeah, well, Jaden, first of all, I just want to commend you, brother, on accepting Christ into your life, because as Catholics, we're all about Jesus, and everything about our faith is Christocentric, because he is the true Messiah. He is, in fact, God made flesh, as John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, in whom we find fullness of grace. Grace and truth. And so I commend you on that, and I encourage you to continue reading the New Testament. Look at those passages, Jaden. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19, Luke chapter 22, verses 29 through 32, and then John 21, 15 through 17. And also, Si, I would like to add in for Jaden, Acts chapter 15. Read that chapter, in which you'll discover, Jaden, is in the early church there was some theological disputes about how a man is to be saved. And among the 12, the one who stands up and declares the truth of the matter, and everybody recognizes it,
yes,
is Peter. And so those are some key texts in the New Testament that Jaden and I can read over in order to see the biblical blueprint for this idea of what we call the papacy. And Jaden, if you can ever get to the internet, check out our website, catholic.com, and type in the papacy, and we have a plethora of resources for you.
And when we come back, you'll define plethora for me, right, Carlo? Jaden, thanks so much.
I hope that's a word.
What a happy call for us to get. Thank you so much for honoring us with it. Jaden, we're here all the time. Don't lose the phone number. Call whenever you're looking for an answer. We have to take a quick break. However, we'll be right back with more Defending Truth Against Relativism with Carlo Broussard on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our fifth annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there.
We've had a wonderful time going home all enthused.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
Normally, you'd have to root through a dozen different books to get half the stuff I've learned here.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Join us this September 27th to the 30th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. All of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and special keynote speaker, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke.
I enjoy the atmosphere and the friendliness of the people, and I'm having a great time.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
I've just learned so much. You know, I've been a Catholic all my life. It's just been so wonderful.
I love it. I want to come back every year.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Did you know that Catholic Answers Live is on TV? What began as a monthly series on EWTN in April of 2017 is now going to be coming to you on a weekly basis. You can catch Catholic Answers Live TV Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN with an encore at 2:30 a.m. on Sundays. We'll also be available soon on Apple TV, Roku, and the Augustine Institute's multimedia platform, Form. Make a point of making Catholic Answers Live TV part of your weekly viewing, and we'll see you on the airwaves.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, we're going to have Father Hugh Barber in here. We're going to talk about Holy Week. Everything you wanted to know about Holy Week. If you have questions about Holy Week, either the original Holy Week or the celebrations that we now have for Holy Week, Father Hugh Barber is the perfect guy to talk to, so hang around for that. This hour, we're defending truth against relativism with Carlo Broussard, our guest. Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, How to Overcome Obstacles to God, the Gospels, and the Church, will be out in just weeks, and his CD, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking, is, well, for one thing, sitting right next to me here on the desk, but also is right on topic for what we're talking about today. Also, Carlo, you've been going out doing a lot of speaking and stuff, so I want to remind people that that they can Carlo will come talk to your group.
Amen. Whether it's your second grade First Communion class, your youth group, your young adult theology on tap group, or your adults, average Joe sitting in the pew, or your PhD, sophisticated intellectual college class, yeah. I'd be more than happy to come and to talk to any of those groups and address whatever topic that there is a need for.
So you'll do like the Aquinas' Five Proofs for the Existence of God with the second grade First Communion group.
Amen.
Yeah, that I'd like to see. Let's go to Joe in Fairfax, Virginia, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Thanks for downloading the app. Joe, your question for Carlo.
Yes. So I was wanting to know, because I've been struggling with this question.
Okay.
So within relation to moral relativism versus moral objectivity. So if it can be claimed that there is moral objectivity, and at the very least, moral objectivity can be considered universal,
right,
well, then what do we make of the fact that around the world there are different customs and different moral rules that have all kinds of variations?
Okay, very, very good question. In fact, Joe, I actually deal with this very question in my forthcoming book, Prepare the Way. In Chapter 2, I actually give three strategies to overcome this obstacle. But first and foremost, Joe, I think the most important thing is to understand that the conclusion, if one were to make the conclusion, there is no absolute moral truth based on the premise that people have different moral beliefs. That's what we call in philosophy a non sequitur. The conclusion doesn't follow from the premise. Just because people disagree or have differing opinions about things, it doesn't follow that there is no objective truth about the matter. I mean, we could disagree about the shape of the earth. You might say it's flat. I might say it's spherical. We have a disagreement. But guess what? It doesn't follow from that that there's no objective truth about the shape of the earth. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right?
Yeah.
We could be driving down a road. I see water. You say it's a mirage. We have a disagreement. Just because we disagree, it doesn't follow from that that there's no objective truth about the matter, whether it's a mirage or not, water or not. So that's the first thing. Just because people disagree or have different beliefs, it doesn't follow that there is no objective moral truth. And think about this too, Joe. I mean, we can – and the reason why it doesn't follow is because we can account for the differing opinions because it may very well be, and it is, that some of these people are wrong, right? I mean, that people disagree doesn't mean there is no moral truth. That people disagree can be explained by the fact that some are right, some are wrong. You see, so that appeal to false judgments in the second act of the mind, we'd say in philosophy, right? It explains why there would be differing opinions and differing beliefs. And then finally, a couple of more strategies. But I think, Joe, one interesting idea about this is what Kraft and Ticelli point out in their book, Handbook of Christian Apologetics. And when we're talking about morality in differing cultures and what they believe, the argument falsely assumes that there's no substantial uniformity in moral principles, right?
Right.
And it also falsely assumes that the differences are in moral principles rather than judgments about the facts or applying the moral principles. So, for example, I like the way Kraft and Ticelli point out, I like the way they put it. You know, they say no culture has ever existed which taught a totally different set of values. Like, for example, honesty, justice, courage, cooperation, wisdom, self-control, hope. These were never thought to be evil, right? And lying, theft, murder, rape, cowardice, folly, addiction, despair, selfishness were never thought to be good.
Right.
So in these different cultures and their differing moral beliefs, it's whenever you look at it closely, you'll discover that it's not really a difference in the moral principle. It's a difference in the judgment about the facts. And in that book I mentioned, Cy, earlier, Beckwith and Kokel in their book, Relativism, Feet Firmly Planted in Midair.
Yeah.
One example they use is, like, for example, in India, killing and eating cows is immoral.
Yeah.
And when you go to the local McDonald's or Burger King there, you discover that we don't hold to that moral principle. It would seem on the surface that there's a conflict and a belief in moral principle. But in fact, the moral principle is fundamentally the same. You respect that which is sacred, because in India, the cows are sacred. Therefore, you don't kill and you don't eat them.
Yeah.
In America, we agree.
They're delicious.
We respect that which is sacred. But where the difference lies is in our judgments of the facts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't judge the cow to be sacred, whereas in other places, they do. So it's not necessarily a difference in the moral principle, respect that which is sacred. The difference lies in our judgment of the facts. And so that's an important thing to point out as well when we're considering the difference of moral beliefs among different cultures.
Joe, any response to that for Carlo?
Yes. So I think that pretty much really got down to the point. One thing, because of example that I was thinking of, is something like, let's say back in here in the United States, we value something like privacy very much. Often, as many sociologists will point out, like that in other languages, there's not even a word for privacy, and we view something like invading someone's privacy as at best highly unethical, or at worst, like even criminal. So
okay.
I'm guessing that based on what you gave, like if we go back to the example of the cow in India, like that would be how we would explain that through something like, even though we don't agree on something like what constitutes privacy or how much there should be privacy, the principle would remain the same, that I guess you could say that intruding on something that belongs to someone else is wrong. So I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
applies in this case as well.
Right, right. And in no way, Joe, do we claim that, the empirical investigation or the investigation to determine, what are the facts is by any means easy. Sometimes that is difficult, right?
Yeah.
So you can look at the case of abortion. Some people might agree on the principle, don't kill innocent human beings, but people might disagree about the facts, whether the baby in the womb at conception is a human being or not.
Right.
And determining that can be difficult at times and in other situations as well. So very often the moral principles are the same, but the facts are where we differ.
Carlo Broussard, thanks for a great hour.
Thank you, Cy. It was a joy, my friend.
Joe, thanks for that call. Really appreciate it. Next hour, we'll be discussing Holy Week with our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber. I want to just mention the CD again. If you're interested in this hour, you will be very interested in the CD, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking from Carlo Broussard. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.